Happy Mother's Day. Not just biological, but all you spiritual moms pour into people. Because that's the thing that lasts. So, not unusual. I get to do Mother's Day. Try to talk Joel into it. He refused. Okay? Threw him under the bus right there. Poof. You have to forgive me because it's Mother's Day. Okay. So, when we were in Africa, I don't know which trip it was, but one of the trips, I had done a message, and we've talked about it a little bit in Wednesday nights, if you're in a Wednesday night group, but I haven't really brought it to the body, and today's the day, because I really believe that this is an understated tool that we don't use, we don't truly value, because if we valued it, we would chase it because of what it produces, according to Scripture. So we're going to talk about joy today. There are many, many, many things that come out of joy, okay, that the Bible promises. So we're going to just look at a few of them today. But what I want to give you first is our definition, because you know how we have this, we define the difference between hope and expectation? Well, there is a difference. Many times we think of joy, we think it's just a bigger level of happiness. Well, that's not really true. It's at a whole different level. So I want to make sure that we are all on the same page. So when I'm talking about joy today, you understand definition. Okay, most commonly defined as an emotion of great delight, okay, we'll all agree with that, while often used interchangeably with happiness, it is distinguished as a deeper, more enduring state of being. Now, that in and of itself is good, but it's not as good as what's coming, okay, because it says it can also refer to the source of the feeling, such as a person or a thing that brings delight. So when I was thinking about this, that first part of it, interchangeably with happiness, but it's really, truly, it's deeper, it's more enduring. I think of happiness like a little hummingbird that's just flitting from this little flower to that little flower. Stays here, then it's gone, then it stays here, then it's gone, then it goes over here, then it's gone, then it goes over here. And I mean, it's kind of like a little bit here, a little bit there, based on what's going on. Very subjective to what's happening around us, impacts us. Does that make sense? You following me? Joy is deeper than that. Joy does not go away. Joy is part of our core. It is part of who we are, regardless of what is happening to us. And I'm really tickled because there's several things in worship today that we're tying right in with these things that I'm going to talk about that joy brings us. Andrea, in one of part of her testimony, she said, life isn't supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be, life is hard. But I've been, in the last 2 weeks, I've had this, you know, overwhelming sense of just goodness, right, going on. A joy. It's deep-seated. Paul tells us in Galatians, he says, or Philippians, I mean, chapter 4, whatever state I am, there I am content. Why are we content? Because we have this deep-seated joy, which is driven by our source. Driven by our source. That phrase of that definition just stood out to me, because I'm like, yeah, because God is my source. He is our source. He is the one that brings the joy. He is the one that drives this deeper, more enduring state of being. It is why when we lose someone, they pass on. And even though there's this emotion that we miss them and we're sad, we know that if they were God's child, that they're in a good place. And so you have this calm, you have this peace, you have this inside of you is not in turmoil. That's an example of this overriding peace. It is when the worst of life happens and you're like, it's okay, we can do this. I don't like it, but I can do it. Because on the surface, you've got these physical emotions, but deep down in your inner man, you have, it's a joy. And it's driven by our source. Are we all good with that? It's true. We don't think about it. We don't talk about it enough. But it is what it is. It is one of the outcomes. It's one of the products that happens when we walk hand in hand, when we abide and we expect. There is this joy that settles down in us. And I'm just going to say it this way. Come hell or high water, I'm good. Don't matter. House can burn tomorrow. I'm going to be okay. Don't want it to happen, but the Lord take him tomorrow. I'm okay. Doesn't mean I'm not miserable. Doesn't mean I'm not sad. But at the bottom of the core of who we are, I can lose my job. I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because the Lord is walking me through this. That is driven by a joy that resides. It's this deep knowing and understanding, and it's an enduring presence. It's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego can stand before the king and go, we're not bowing, and whatever God chooses to do, we're good. Whatever he wants to do. It's because of a joy that is deep in there. I want to give you, because I'm always long, I know. The kids always tell me, Grandma, you're always longer than Papa when he's preaching. I know. I'm going to try not to be so long. But I want to give you just five things. There's many more in the Bible. There's many more places and the things that come out. But I want to give you five things that when you walk in this residing, this deep, enduring joy, that are outcomes. God promises you. First one. Let's go to Nehemiah. And I thank goodness for Elizabeth, because I threw her a bunch of scripture this morning. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. This is a familiar verse. Go eat rich food, drink something sweet, he said, and send portions to this to anyone. This is the phrase. This day is holy to our Lord. Don't be sad, because the joy from the Lord is your strength. Now, I want to give you the definition of that word strength, because it isn't just strength, okay? There's more to it. Literally, he is your refuge. He is your protection. He is your safety. All of those things. Protection, refuge, safety. It's Mother's Day. Let's use a mother's example, okay? I had three boys. Daniel's got three boys. Kylie's got three boys. We got boys all over the place in this place. Boys, as they get older, tend to want to follow their dad. True. Doesn't mean it's nothing against their mom. But as they get older, they want to follow their dad. Why? Until when? Till when? Till they get hurt. Till they're scared. Till they absolutely have no answer. And then who do they run to? They run to mama. Listen, it's because there is a refuge there. There's a protection there. There's a safety there. That is what this is equating, this joy the joy of the Lord. So when we walk hand in hand with him and we abide and we expect that we are going to become more and more like him, and we know that all of our emotions, including joy, reside in him, come from him, then we are going to walk in joy. And part of what that joy gives us is this understanding that he is our refuge, he's our safety, he is our protection. We're having this conversation, me and my hubby. I don't even remember how we got started on this. I think because there was a situation in Grand Rapids and at a school this week. Him and I were talking, coming home about it, and we had just left Titus's band concert Friday night, and he's like, "And we don't even have our guns on us." And I said, "Yeah, I know, but I ain't worried about it. If I get in a situation and I don't have my gun to protect me, guess what? I'm just going to figure out what the Lord wants me to say, and maybe I'll just talk him down. Maybe I'll just talk him to death." And he says, "You think that's really going to work?" And I said, "Look, I believe this is just the same as Elisha with the bears, you know, Second Kings and the beginning where Elisha, he's just been anointed, he's received the mantle from Elijah, and these bears, and he just tells the bears what to do. Bears. He just orders them. He tells them what to do, and then they have to follow it." I said, "This is the same thing, because God is going to protect me. He's going to watch over me. If I ask him at that moment what I'm supposed to say, if I hear him and I tell him and I follow what he tells me to do, he's my protection. He's my refuge. He's my safety. I don't have to worry about it. And even if they shoot me, it's okay. Why? Because this residing joy. And it is so much, so much like a mama. When everything else, we should be turning to him first, going to that refuge, going to that place first. But a lot of times we don't. A lot of times it's a last ditch. Nothing else has worked. I got to go see mama. How much better? Because he promises us that he's going to give us that strength. That's the first thing. Second thing. Lines right up with Talia. Talia was talking about, she mentioned a health issue. So we're going to go to Proverbs 17:22. I love this verse. I love the promise of this verse. A joyful, deep, enduring, residing inner man kind of joy, kind of cheerful heart brings healing to both body and soul, but the one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. I want you to, you could turn around and you could talk to the two Bettys in the back, and they would tell you, like me, because we're all nurses, endorphins, all that little happy stuff in you, reduces pain. Endorphins reduce pain. Who created the endorphins? What does he say? A joyful. He doesn't say in the Old Testament, "Hey, you got endorphins that will decrease your pain." What he says is, if you have joy, if you have a cheerful heart, he knows, because he created our bodies this way, he knows that it will release the endorphins, and the endorphins will decrease pain. That's just one thing. You've heard me say, people in Africa have heard me say, if you've got people in the hospital, do not send somebody who wants to be grumpy to the hospital. Do not send somebody to the hospital who's absolutely miserable within themselves. Do not do it. Why? Because it's totally against what Scripture tells us. It says a joyful, cheerful heart. I think in the King James it says is good medicine. Good medicine. Do you know what a good laugh does for you? Besides just decreasing the decrease, the endorphins rising, decreasing the pain. But you get a good laugh going, your muscles are moving, you're breathing deeper. Everything is a win. That's just on the physical side. That's just on the physical side. If you've got health issues, I'm telling you, you need to laugh more. You need to get around somebody that can bring a little bit more joy into your life, can help you be a little bit more cheerful. If you're sitting at home and you're like, oh my gosh, I am aching, and get up, call somebody and tell them, hey, I need something. Tell me something that's going to bring a little joy into me. I don't care. Like, it is a promise. And we don't take it literally. We read it, but we don't take it literally. And then because we don't take it literally, we miss out on what God promises he'll do for us. Just because we don't take it literally. So I'm telling you, if I'm ever in the hospital, don't come see me unless you're happy. Don't do it. Don't care. Don't. I remember, you know, like, and we're a strange group. Like, we did a pizza party in ICU when Judy was dying. We did. Because joy is beyond circumstance. It's more enduring than your immediate circumstance. It is not impacted by external factors. Okay? The one whose heart is crushed struggles with sickness and depression. You wonder why we got depression so much in the United States? A lot of people not understanding joy. And a lot of God's people who don't know what they could bring to address things. We just want to throw meds at everything. You are your own little antibiotic walking around. Do you understand that? You are your own little antidepressant. Do you understand that? The people sitting around you are your medicine. If you can't get there on your own, We've had deliverance sessions, and Diane and everybody else who's been here, anybody who's been here any length of time will tell you, we've had deliverance sessions where we've just ended up, all of us are rolling on the floor, laughing. Long time. Now, I'm not talking 5 minutes. I'm talking so bad that your side just aches. You can't hardly move when you're done. Why? Because there's a joy of the Lord. And some of it comes out in this cheerfulness, and it addresses. Do you know in the King James it says, if you don't have it, it dries up your bones. Now let's do physical again. What do your bones do? What do your bones do? Do anybody know? I know the two ladies in the back do. They make blood. They make blood. That's what your bones do. If your bones dry up and wither, guess what? Your blood ain't real healthy. Your blood carries the nutrients. Your blood carries the oxygen. And the Bible says that if you don't walk in joy, that your bones dry up. The thing that creates and gives and promotes and continues ongoing renewing and life in your physical, temporal body right here dries up. So, 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 so important. Isaiah 12:3. Let's go to the next one. With triumphant joy, you will drink deeply from the wells of salvation. Now, let me tell you what that word salvation means here. I love this one. I do. This word salvation means deliverance, persistent victory, life. Life. Now, I'm going to talk about life for a minute. I want to give you an example of what life. I'm not talking about just you're breathing, because that goes back to that health piece. life is enjoying who you are, not ashamed of who you are. Doesn't matter what everybody else thinks of you, whether you're crazy or not crazy. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. Like growing up in our, when the boys were young, and they'll tell you, we had this counter extension, kind of like this little bar that came out, and there was just enough room. Jolie's smiling over here. There was just enough room between the counter and the ceiling that if I wanted to bring a little joy into the house, because things weren't maybe as happy as what they should have been, or maybe people's grousing, or maybe I just wanted a little life, I would grab my spoon, as big a one as I had, and I would climb up on the counter, and because I'm only 5 foot, I had plenty of room to stand on the counter without hitting my head on the ceiling, and I could just dance my little life away right on top of the counter. That's what I'm talking about, life. You don't all have to dance on the counter, but you ought to be able, with some joy in your heart and deep-seated, be able to do what you feel you want to do. I'm waiting. I've had a couple people who've come up to me, newer people in church, come up and go, I just want to be up front and do what you do in worship. Well, come on. That's life. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think. I don't care. Elias is always grading my dancing. He gives me a one. He gives me a 1 out of 10. Okay? I don't care. He told me he was going to grade my preaching today, but he went downstairs. So that's a good thing for me. Okay? So I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. Life is being who God called you to be, and enjoying and understanding that it's not in all these big moments. It's in these little moments where you just want to express yourself, and you're not worried about what anybody else is thinking or what they're going to say. Who cares? Bible says that you are a peculiar person. I'm all about being peculiar. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's try this. Why? Because there's life in that. If I had to be what some people would call a normal pastor's wife, my bones would dry up. They would. But that's what, for each one of us, and it looks a little different for each one of us, but that's what that verse really says. He's going to give you wells, plural, of life and victory and deliverance. We talk about that word deliverance. Sometimes people will go, well, I've got this issue, but I've already been in the chair 3 times. Oh, well. Guess what? It says wells, plural. And one of the definitions is deliverance. So what joy. It says, I'm going to bring this to you. I'm going to bring you all. I don't care. You can have 10 wells in deliverance. I don't care. Let's get it done. Lord promises you're going to have plural. Let's do it. He says you're going to have victory. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. To walk through life and not worry about what somebody else is going to say or what they're going to do or what they're going to think. Just making Jesus happy. That's all we're doing. It's you've heard me say that. It's my phrase I stand on. You just, at the end of the day, if you just make Jesus happy, everybody wins. But it comes because of that deep-seated joy. Next one. Isaiah 60:15. Although once you were rejected and despised, undesirable for anyone to pass through you, I will make you majestic forever. You want to be like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is me. I get to be majestic. Like forever. Like I'm like, okay, let's go. A source of joy. Listen, for every generation. Every generation. That means that the joy that you, if you will grab hold of it, and you work at demonstrating so that other people can see it pouring out of you, that you are going to impact generations. Your kids, your grandkids, and I'm not just talking biological, I'm talking spiritual, as well as biological. It promises a generational impact. I love my grandpa. My grandpa Tip, I loved him. But he was a somber little guy. I got like two songs that I remember in my head where he would get happy. The rest of it, somber, Eeyore. What? That's not the kind of generational blessing and impact I want. I don't. When I'm dead and gone, I want my grandkids to be telling their kids, you know what, my grandma, we never knew what she was going to do. Check. Or to be able to say, but even more than that, we always were safe with her, that she was our refuge. Some of that joy is our strength. See, joy, all these aspects, all these things that joy produces, this verse tells us is generational. It can be passed down. Amen. They will receive it. But only if you embrace it and you demonstrate. And not just biological, spiritual. You have people who you are mentoring, spending time with, you meet, your parenting, if you will. You can have a spiritual impact on them that is every bit generational as a biological. And then this last one, Isaiah 66:5. And listen, that Blessing on the Way song, we started off with that Nobody song, which talked about joy. Then we went to Blessing on the Way. That's that generational piece. We had Talia talking about the physical. We had Andrea talking about strength. I'm telling you, worship hit every little point that I'm saying. This is just like a little exclamation point on top of what happened in worship. This is number 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy. And they will be ashamed. The people that hate you, the people that give you trouble, the people that just cause you all kinds of grief, whether it's family or whether it's work. You know, if you walk in joy and you demonstrate joy and it pours out of you because it's deep-seated, do you know what? The Lord is going to bring them to shame. I'm going to tell you a little story. I just thought of this. The Lord just dumped this into my mind. It's the best example I got. So I was working assisted living in town. They had this new administrator. Talitha knows because she was working with me. Okay? So we had this new administrator. She was not medical. She had a marketing background. Okay? So, her and I were at odds because I would want something to happen medical, thought it would need to, you know, and then she would fight me tooth and nail. So let's say something infectious was going on in the building and I would want somebody to stay in their room instead of coming out and wander the halls and spread it all over. She would have a fit. And in the midst of that going on, we had, I had one person in particular who wanted vacation time. Well, she didn't have vacation time available. And I didn't have coverage. It was midnight shift, and I didn't have coverage. So I had to deny it. So she goes to our little marketing administrator person, and who pretty much everybody in the building knew we were having some conflicts, so that wasn't a surprise. So she goes to her, tells her that one of our hospice patients, that I was physically abusing them. Okay? Now, I don't know how that's possible because, number one, I wouldn't do that. But number two, family was in every day. And number three, we had a hospice nurse in every single day. Okay? So when the employee who didn't get their vacation that they wanted went to the marketing administrator and said, you know, she made up a story. And she said she's physically abusing so-and-so. She just came to my office and fired me. Now, is that difficult? Yes. Yes. If you've ever been let go from a job, at the time, it took me a little bit because I was, you know, that's pretty, you know, it can be devastating. But I want to tell you what happens, because when you find your joy, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it was about 10 months later. It was when Yonkers was still open. Okay? And I go into Yonkers. Listen, best thing ever, because I ended up at WGU, so I'm working from home, and that gives me flexibility with ministry and taking care of the grandkids and all of that. Best thing that ever happened. All things work together for good. Those are the things. You grab hold of scripture and you remind yourself so you can get back to your joy spot. So you can hold on to your enduring peace. Okay? You hold on and you have to take it literally. All things. So, okay, I don't know. This doesn't feel good at all. I'm miserable. I like doing what I was doing. Oh, my gosh, I have an online job. I'm getting paid better. I have better hours. I set my own schedule. I can take care of the grandkids. I can do ministry. Oh, my gosh. But this verse, they that hate you will be ashamed. So I walk into Yonkers, okay? And I'm getting something. I think it was in the holidays, so I'm getting something. And I go up to the counter, and guess who is the cashier. No lying. That administrator is the cashier. That's a big step. I got fired. I got a better job. She got let go. She's a cashier. See, I didn't have to fight that battle. All I had to do was find my joy. All I have to do is believe what God says is true. This, when he says, they will be, she couldn't even lift her head to look at me. And I tried talking to her, just, hey, how are you? Good to see you. Tried not to, like, put it in her face, okay? But I'm telling you, when the Lord says, it says, he shall appear to your joy, when it's rising up, when it's there, when he recognizes that within you, he's going to rise up and he's going to make them ashamed. Now, you may not know it always. Or if you do know it, it might not be immediate. It might take a while. But we ought to be, as God's people, we ought to be able to sit and go, Lord's taking care of them. I don't even have to worry about them. I can't let them impact this deep enduring because the Lord is trying to pour out refuge, safety, strength, protection. He's trying to pour out health, deliverance, victory, life, generational blessings, and make them people ashamed that are giving me grief. He wants to do that. And what I have to do is I have to keep moving in. And if you're at this place with hope, I have joy, we move to a place of expectation and knowing I have this deep residing joy. Doesn't mean that you don't cry sometimes. It don't mean that you're not mad sometimes. It don't mean any of that. You still have all those emotions. But at underneath, at the core of it, you go, you know what? Me and the Lord, we got this. We're together. And he's got all these blessings, all these things that he has promised me. If I hold on to that tool and I demonstrate it, that's why Romans 8 says, all of creation waits for the sons of God to arise. They're looking, the world is looking for joy. They're looking for somebody to help them not be so miserable. They're looking for a way beyond their hurts. I have the coolest thing going on. Work's been crazy. Work has been absolutely nuts. I got another 4 or 5 weeks, hopefully, where then I can get rid of some of these temporary programs that I'm running right now. But I am having these moments when it is. Having these moments when I'm hearing back from my leadership, like, Jules, you know, this your psychology people, do you know they're telling us that if we pull you to another program and take you away from them, that they're all quitting? That's not because I'm such a great manager. It's because we are working to find joy together. We are working to find this place where, regardless of what comes at us, we understand there's always a path forward. There's always something. And many of them are, I have found that they're Christians, and so we'll stop and have prayer. I'll be throwing verses at them. Hey, hold on to this verse. You know, this situation. You know, I got one that's interviewing for a managerial job, and every time they go into an interview, they get hold of me. I'm going into the interview. Okay, remember who you are in Christ. Just be who God called you to be. See, that's that inner joy. That's all driven from joy. Right. All of it. I was talking to Apostle, and I said, you know what? I said, do you know what Solomon said about women? It's Mother's Day, so I'm going to circle back for just a minute. Okay? Do you know what he said about women? He said, oh, my gosh, this is bad. Okay, like this is bad. And he knows. He had 700 wives, 300 concubines. He had 1,000 women. Okay? If any man could talk about this, he could. Okay? Can you bring up Proverbs 27:15? I just want you to see this. Because if anybody could say this, Solomon's the man. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. I can tell you, contention is about as far away from joy as you could possibly get. And he experienced it enough that he talked about it. I think the King James uses the word dripping, a continual, you know, like on a rainy day, drip, 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 drip. Contentious, argumentative. And you know what? We don't even have to be verbalizing to be contentious. We can be as argumentative in our silence as what we are when we're talking. Do you know that? I am the queen of that. I'm just going to tell you, I've worked really hard to get away from that. So don't think you can sit in your chair and go, oh, I'm not contentious because I don't argue. No, you just shut your mouth and don't say a word, and you're miserable, make everybody miserable that way. Contentious is as far away. And men, you're not off the hook. Men might not be so contentious, but they are cantankerous. Grumpy. That's the difference between women, men and women. I'm like, women are contentious, men are cantankerous. Grumpy. All of us. It's as far away from joy as what we can get. And the beautiful thing is, and I'm going to close with this. I just want you to get a vision of this. Because this is really the cool thing. Do you know the story of Job? You know the story of Job, right? Satan comes into heaven, okay? And he's like, well, if you let me pick on Job, right? If you just let me pick on Job, he'll just fold like a house of cards. He will. He'll deny you. He'll turn from you. And God is up there going, no, he won't. I know my man. He won't. And through the whole book of Job, we see Job sitting in sackcloth ashes. He's absolutely miserable. Absolutely miserable. And at times, he is having this little close to contentious kind of argument with God at one point. But his friends have been like this dripping all the way through, telling him over and over, and his wife over and over, just telling him, just speak ill of him. Just go ahead. And Job's like, no, not going to speak against my God to you. Not happening. Not going to happen. I think even though he had these moments of struggling, you think of what this man lost. All of his cattle, all of his houses, all of his wealth, all of his children, everything but the contentious wife. Okay. And yet he refuses to curse God. Why is that? That inner thing, it was there. It was buried deep, but it was there. And I believe he had this joy element somewhere buried in his inner man. And it must have been pretty strong because it was wore thin by the time we get through the end of Job. But you know what happens then? Because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you know, I love this verse. I'm going to give you this last verse, and then we're going to close. It's Zephaniah 3:17. I didn't even give that one to Elizabeth, but I don't think I did. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice. That's joy. They use rejoice and joy interchangeably a lot, especially in the Old Testament. He will rejoice over you with joy. He, and that's a capital H, because this is talking about what God will do. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Do you know what that joy, that word means? That word joy? When it says, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will joy over you with singing. Do you want me to show you? I showed Wednesday night group, if they remember. Do you know what that word joy means? Not only is God singing, because it says he's singing, but do you know what? He gets up off the throne envision him. He's sitting on your throne in heaven. Jesus is on his right-hand side. Got the 24 elders, all of the angels, the heavenly hosts, all of the cloud of witnesses, all those people that have gone before us, they're all in the throne room. The angels, everything, they're all in the throne room. God stands up off of the throne, because he has to do this. And he does this word, this is what that word joy means. I got to come down here, I'll fall off the platform. Okay, and he does this. It means, in the Hebrew, it means spinning with exceeding emotion. Spinning, overflowing with joy. That's what God does when he sees himself replicated in us. He gets off of the throne and he starts spinning and singing. When you are who you are, when you are not letting circumstances overwhelm you, when you are still finding your man of peace, when you're testifying to his goodness, when you're in worship and you're not worried about what anybody else is doing, when you are, again, when you're replicating, when he can see his own reflection in you, he gets off of the throne and he spins out of pure joy and he sings over you. Use your tool. Next time you're really just having a bad day, I don't know if we got to stamp joy on your forehead or on your palm or what we have to do, but use your tool. Pull it out. And if you're not in a place where you can do it yourself, call somebody here that's here in this room that worships with you. They will understand. All you have to do is say, I need some help grabbing hold of my joy. You don't have to tell them why. That's all you have to tell them is, I just need you to help me grab some joy. If you stand with me as we're just going to close. You got a song to close? I'm going to let the worship team close us in a song. Father, we just, there's so many things in your word that we just miss. Father, there's so many things in your word that we miss. Father, please, please, just keep speaking to us. Just keep talking to us. Keep showing us, Lord, what you have for us, the things that you've promised us. Lord, this is just a few things that come with joy. It's not even all-inclusive. But we know it's true, and we know that you'll provide them because you do not lie. Father, we want to be a people that not only understand that joy is this deep-seated thing within our inner man that does not waver based on circumstance, but it is something that comes from you that is used. It's supposed to be one of our weapons that we use to battle whatever's being thrown at us. And when we follow and become who you've called us to be, Father, we just want you singing over us. We want you off the throne on our behalf. We want you doing that spinning thing for us. Because you're proud of us, because you love us, because you're recognizing, Lord, all of heaven can just watch and go, oh, that's because of Pine Grove. He's up out of his seat because of Pine Grove. That's what we want, Father. Because that means you're proud of us. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Help us use our tools, Lord. Amen. Joel, you just want to close this?